Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 7. The cab pulled up next to Jim's house, and Andrew paid the driver. Jim got out, shaking his head and taking a deep breath in the cold air.
All right, we're here. Now what?
Let's get you inside. We'll take care of you until your wife gets back, Andrew said. Jim nodded slowly, but when he looked up at the house, he frowned.
What time is it?
I'm actually not wearing a watch, Andrew said. Feline shook her head as well. She had never seen the idea of wearing one.
There's a light on inside. If Ginger's at the theater, who's in there?
He reached for the gun around his ankle and pulled it out. Andrew looked at Feline before both of them took flanking positions to Jim, covering him from both sides. Jim walked up the steps to the front door and unlocked it without making a sound. He turned the handle and stepped in, followed by Feline and Andrew. Even though they had been sitting in the car, they were all so cold that the warm air inside felt almost like stepping into a sauna. Jim stood still as a statue, listening, but it was Feline who heard it first. Voices coming from upstairs. She pointed with one finger, and Jim nodded to acknowledge that he had heard them as well. Two voices, a woman and a man.
That's Ginger, Jim said in a quiet voice. But the other voice?
Feline, who had incredibly sharp hearing, could hear every single word, and she recognized the voice of the man instantly. She opened her mouth to say something, but Andrew gestured for her to stop. He couldn't hear every word, but he was smart enough to figure out what was going on. This was something Jim needed to find out himself.
We'll be down here, Jim. Call if you need us, he said,
stepping back and giving Jim a free path to the stairs. Jim climbed them one step at a time, taking great care to move without a sound. The carpet runner in the middle of the stairs softened the sound of his heavy shoes, and he made it to the top almost as quietly as Feline could have done, Andrew thought. He saw Jim turn the corner upstairs to what he assumed was the bedroom and vanish from their sight. Andrew sat down, feeling suddenly very tired.
Now what?
Feline whispered close to his ear.
Now we wait. I think maybe we just did what we came here to do, and I'm not sure I'm happy about it.
Upstairs, Jim listened at the bedroom door. It was closed, but it didn't stop any noise at all, and he could hear every word coming from inside. He recognized Ginger's voice easily, but it took him a second to recognize Jacob Carlson's voice, even though it was one of the most familiar voices in his life. A man does not, however, expect his partner's voice to come from inside his own bedroom. Jim felt his body temperature, already low from the ride over, plummet even further, but at the same time, he could feel that his brow was wet with sweat. He looked down, saw his hand holding his gun, and then slowly lowered it. He wouldn't need a gun for this. The other hand reached forward, took a hold of the door handle, and pushed the door open. He took one step inside, but even mustering all his willpower, he couldn't take another. The sight of Carlson and Ginger in bed, as they screamed in surprise and tried to cover themselves with the sheets, looked to him like he was seeing it through gauze. Even the sounds were muffled, like they came from far away. He stood there, looking at his wife and his partner, seeing Ginger's wide eyes and open mouth, seeing Carlson get out of bed and try to cover himself with his hands as he moved toward the chair where his clothes lay. But every word they said sounded like gibberish to him. He knew they must be talking to him, had to be, from the look of it, but he didn't know what they were saying. He held up his hand.
"Stop, please. Be quiet."
His own voice sounded normal inside his head, even though theirs were so strange, and they both fell silent. He looked at Carlson.
"Get out of here. Now. Right now."
Carlson opened his mouth to say something, but Jim cut him off.
"I can't hear anything you say to me anyway. Get the hell out of here, or so help me God, I'll shoot you down like a dog."
He couldn't hear the dead and determined tone in his own voice, but Ginger and Carlson heard it perfectly and knew that Jim Corrigan meant exactly what he said. Carlson closed his mouth and quickly put his pants, shoes, and jacket on, grabbed the rest in his hands, and practically ran down the stairs. He shot Andrew and Feline a surprised look, but didn't hang around to find out why the two people he'd met in the lobby of the theater now sat in Jim's living room. He opened the front door and sprinted out into the cold night, still holding the rest of his clothes in one hand.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
With Carlson gone, it seemed like some of the invisible cotton was removed from Jim's ears. He could hear Ginger's voice more clearly now. She was sobbing.
"Ginger,"
he said, looking at his wife, who still sat up in bed, covered by a sheet.
"Why?"
"Jim, it wasn't anything, really."
"Do you think that makes it better? I asked you why."
Ginger wiped both eyes with her palms, smearing her mascara, but it didn't seem to make her tears stop.
"Jim, you're always working so hard. I never see you. I love you, you know I do, but I needed someone to... I wanted to be seen. I needed someone to look at me like you used to look at me."
"That's a great story, and I might even have believed it,"
Jim said.
"If you hadn't decided to shack up with another copper. Do I look like I'm stupid? Carlson works just as much as I do. He's even been with me on most of the cases I've worked."
He paused then, understanding what Ginger was really saying.
"But Carlson wasn't the first, was he? He was just the latest. The flavor of the month."
Ginger didn't reply and didn't need to. He could see everything he needed to know in her eyes.
"You know," Jim said, tilting his head, "couple of people came to see me today. They told me something pretty damn unbelievable. They said I thought so much of you that I changed the entire future, the entire world, because of you. And they said I was wrong to do it. Apparently they were right."
"Jim, I don't know what you mean, but..."
Ginger got out of bed, wrapping the sheet around her like a toga. Jim found this strangely amusing. He had seen her naked hundreds, perhaps thousands of times since they'd met, and now she was uncomfortable being naked in front of him.
Jim, we can get past this. I know we can. I'm sorry. Really, I am. I love you, and you love me. We shouldn't destroy everything we've built up just because of one little mistake I made.
One? One little mistake? He shook his head in disbelief.
Hon, you've just broken the Chicago record in understatements.
She wrapped her arms around him, but Jim took hold of her wrists and unwrapped the arms as he pulled back from her. This made the sheet slide a bit off her, but he didn't look at her body. In a way, the body he had loved so much now actually disgusted him. She was still crying, but now it was more of a slow, soft flow of tears.
Ginger, right now, I don't want to look at you or hear you. You've broken every single bit of trust I've ever had in you. Get your hooks off of me.
She pulled back at the cold steel in his voice and sat down on the chair in front of her makeup table.
What do you want, then?
She asked.
I'm going downstairs and talk to the two people I spoke about. After that, I don't know. I want you to stay up here, and for God's sake, get some clothes on.
He turned and walked out the bedroom, feeling an urge to slam it shut, but didn't. He descended the stairs and saw Andrew and Feline sitting in the living room at the foot of the stairs.
I assume you heard that, he said.
Every word,
Feline said. Well, you two were right. I don't know how you knew she was...
We told you how we knew, Andrew said. But we didn't know, really. We just knew she was not what you thought she was. We didn't have any details.
I hope you'll forgive me for not listening to you, Jim said. You have to admit, it's a pretty unbelievable story.
It is. But now that you know, will you do what we asked? Will you set the timeline right again?
Andrew got to his feet and walked to where Jim stood, looking him in the eyes.
You have no idea of the world we're coming from, and I pray you never do. This, whatever it is you're supposed to do in the real timeline, it must do a hell of a lot of good, because the world Feline and I live in is not a good place. You not being there really makes a difference.
What do I need to do now to set it right?
Jim sounded defeated, but also like he was ready to do this.
You said I had to die?
That's right. Tomorrow, you're supposed to get shot. Just, I don't know, go about your life? Although that sounds weird. Take a walk, and maybe a gunman will drive up. I don't know how it happens. The man who sent us back didn't give us the specific details.
And Ginger? What about her?
Jim cocked a finger up the stairs.
Is she, will she be okay?
Feline and Andrew exchanged a look.
We can't tell you that, Jim, Andrew said. We've probably already said too much, strictly speaking. You shouldn't know too much about your own fate.
I suppose you're right.
Jim lit a cigarette and rested his head in his hands.
I just don't know what I'm going to do right now.
Get some sleep. You got a big day tomorrow. Go up and tell your wife that you've decided to let it go and that you can work it out. That's my advice.
Andrew put a hand on Jim's shoulder, and even though he could sense that the man didn't like being touched, he kept it there.
And you should always take our advice, as you've probably found out by now.
Fine. All right.
Jim dragged on the cigarette.
Just tell me one thing. What happens
when I see you two again. Will you remember this?
Probably not, Andrew said. Time paradoxes and all that. The people you'll meet will be us before this happened.
It'll be like trying to have a glass of milk before the cow is even born,
Feline said.
Right, of course. Okay, you two get the hell out of here and leave me alone with Ginger. And tomorrow...
Andrew gave Jim's shoulder one last squeeze. Just go out and do what you'd normally do. History will take care of itself. Feline and Andrew headed for the door. As they opened it, Jim spoke.
Mr. Picard?
Yes?
Are you sure you can't give me just a little hint about the future? Seems like a pretty unique chance.
I wouldn't dare. What if I messed with the timeline even more?
Besides, the future I come from hopefully won't be the one you're going to. Jim waved his hand.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Thank you, both, for what you've done.
You're welcome,
Feline said with a smile.
Just remember, when you meet us again, how awesome we are.
Jim laughed in spite of his dark mood.
I'll do my best.
They went out and closed the door behind them. Jim sat quietly, finishing his cigarette, before heading up the stairs to the bedroom again.